Oh, hi, everybody. It's Erica Demain, your personal cook friend, back again with Cucina Improvvisata, improvising in the Italian kitchen. I hope you've been doing a lot of good fall cooking. I have. I've been working some pumpkins and Brussels sprouts and things of that nature into my dinners. I've actually been thinking about making some type of pumpkin lasagna. I'm not quite sure what I'm going to do with that. Maybe it'll have some mascarpone in it. I don't really know, but sounds like a good idea. And I just wanted to tell you, I was just lucky enough to get back from a 10-day trip to Rome, and it was beautiful. I haven't been there in about 5-6 years. Such a fantastic thing. I hunted down Anna Magnani's old apartment building. It was this big, huge, crazy, dark place. I'm sure her apartment must have been absolutely gigantic from the looks of it. I was sort of amazed that there wasn't even a plaque for her outside, considering she's basically a Roman goddess. But if you want to go visit, she is at Via dei Astalli, number 19. Right across, oddly enough, from the Irish embassy. I'm not quite sure what that meant to her, but anyway, there you have it. So, aside from visiting Anna Magnani, I went to all the food markets. There are a couple of nice new ones. I ate pasta every single day. That's what I do when I'm in Rome. I mean, sometimes I have it twice a day. Frankly, I actually felt like I was going to explode, and I guess I've been home for a week and I still feel like I'm going to explode. But I guess it was worth it. But it's interesting, the trip to Rome and Roman food, it got me thinking about improvisation, of course. That's where my culinary mind always goes. There's plenty of new places in Rome since the last time I was there. There's lots of places, Biologico, and these are the organic, locally sourced restaurants. They're all over the place. They're in some of the hipper neighborhoods, like the Monte neighborhood, which was kind of new to me. And some of these places are really excellent. And you're gonna get Italian food in these places. You don't really get, they don't stray too far from the Roman spirit, even when they're improvising. You're gonna get local cheeses, cured meats, vegetables. But put together in a new way. And I mean, for instance, at one place called Urbane 47, I had something that was sort of a tangle of fall vegetables, mostly greens, chicoria, which is a sauteed chicory that is in season now, was a big part of it. But on top was a poached egg, and then sort of a frizzle of crisp guanciale. Now, I've never seen a poached egg anywhere in Rome before. So this was obviously some kind of, you know, reconstructed Roman dish using all Roman ingredients, but in a different format. These places are great. I really had a good time going to some of these restaurants. But of course, you know, when in Rome, I always have to go to all the classic trattorias. You know, the places, they're so cute, and the menus are always, like, etched in stone. I mean, some places do better jobs at the classic than others, but, you know, you go into one of these places, you know, you ask for, like, a tripa alla romana, and you don't even see it on the menu, but you know they have it, and you know basically what you're going to be getting. It's going to be a tripe braised with tomatoes and white wine, finished with a little pecorino and a little mint on top. And this is a fantastic dish, and it's a classic, and it's always done the same way. You know, the pastas in Rome, when you go to one of these classic trattoria places, are, you know what you're going to get. You're going to get your cacio e pepe, which is spaghetti tossed with pecorino and black pepper. And that's actually become kind of a trendy thing now. You even see that at some of the newer places. You're going to see pasta alla gricia, which is basically cacio e pepe with the addition of guanciale, which is Rome's cured pork jowl that's like all over the place there. And then you'd get the amatriciana sauce, which is guanciale again, tomatoes and hot chilies, finished with pecorino. And then, you know, when I was there, you know, there's always a seasonal pasta on any traditional menu, and this one was, it's porcini season, so it was fettuccine with porcini, which is basically sliced porcini, olive oil, and that's about it. But I have to say, my favorite Roman pasta has got to be carbonara. I love it. I think it's really got to be one of the genius dishes of Italian cooking. It's just so silky and beautiful when it's made well. And all you're really doing here is combining eggs, cheese, and guanciale, again, or pancetta sometimes, and tossing until the eggs cook slightly and it coats the bucatini or spaghetti or penne, even I've seen it with, like every single strand with this creamy, beautiful yellow sauce. And the thing I love about this is that the pasta is completely coated, but there's not like a puddle of sauce on the bottom. And it's interesting, when I've made this in the past, I've always wound up with a little bit of sauce on the bottom, and I followed a lot of different recipes, and I didn't quite get how they did this until this last visit to Rome, and I will get back to that in a minute. But I just wanted to say a little bit about a spaghetti carbonara, just about the history of it. You know, I think, you know, this is probably one of those dishes that's been around for hundreds of years. But, you know, in one form or another, it's probably some kind of like farmhouse dish. But in the 40s and 50s, it became a restaurant dish in Rome. And it went from sort of farmhouse to fancy. And that's where it is now. I mean, I don't remember my grandmother cooking carbonara. I don't remember anybody's Italian-American grandmother cooking carbonara. Although, I do remember my grandmother making something that was like carbonara, which was grated cheese and eggs tossed with pasta. And it kind of was the same thing. It didn't have the guanciale. It didn't have the black pepper. It was a little bit blander. But it's probably, you know, that's probably the basic that dish, you know, cucina povera dish that carbonara grew out of. The most interesting thing about carbonara is that it's, even in Italy, often it's really screwed up. You know, in this country for sure, it's often really bad. Usually in America, in New York, I gotta say, when they put cream in it, which is so often the case here, it completely ruins the dish for me. The cream destroys the clingy texture that coats the pasta, which, in my opinion, just messes up the character of the entire dish. The other big problem that you get here, but I've also had it in Rome, in fact, once on this trip, is using smoked bacon instead of guanciale or pancetta, which is just cured. This is just way too strong a flavor. It takes over the whole thing. I mean, you really want to taste the pasta, you want to taste the egg, you want to taste the cheese, which is in Italy is usually a pecorino. Here, what I usually do is make a mix of pecorino and a little bit of grana padano or parmesan, because I find that the pecorino I get here is often a little bit harsh. So, I mean, I just want to add a little sweetness so it's not too acrid. You know, I'm sure you've all tasted that when you buy pecorino romano here, especially in a supermarket. It's like so pungent, it can give you like mouth sores. I mean, I've actually experienced that. Now, when it comes to improvising with these classic dishes, I mean, I feel like, man, I'll improvise with anything. But when it comes to these classic Roman dishes, I feel like it's sort of, you know, destroy them at your own risk. And I almost never do. I mean, I've tried improvising a little bit with carbonara, and the only thing I've found that really works really beautifully as an addition is in the spring when I can find fresh shell peas. That really does taste perfect to me. And it doesn't take away from any of the other ingredients. It just adds to it. What else have I tried experimenting with carbonara? Herbs. I mean, I throw herbs into everything. Herbs, fresh herbs, don't seem to really belong in carbonara. I mean, even parsley, which I always added in the first recipes I wrote for carbonara, I added parsley. Why? I don't know. Just to be different. And it ultimately just detracts from the carbonara-ness of the dish. I think I've tried thyme. I thought that would work. It was fine, but it just didn't taste like carbonara anymore. So now I really play it straight. I think I ate carbonara in Rome on this trip maybe, oh, I don't know, 5 times, maybe even 6 times. I really just wanted to check it out all around town. The best one I had was at a place called Da Danilo, which is a very, very traditional trattoria. But it was textbook perfect. And I really studied this dish when it came to my table. And I kind of got what they did. And I understood what I had been doing wrong, I think. So after I got home from my trip, I decided I needed to make some adjustments on my carbonara technique. And it really is just a technique, because basically you're using eggs, cheese, guanciale, black pepper, that's it. So with so few ingredients, you know, what you do with them is really key. So what I had done in the past, which gave an okay result, but not the beautiful, perfect Da Danilo carbonara, was that I would saute my guanciale or pancetta, usually guanciale, and then I would take a nice big pasta serving bowl, warm it up a little bit, and add my eggs and cheese to that, and then I'd throw the crisp guanciale in, and then I'd throw the hot pasta in, and I'd toss and toss and toss and toss, trying to get the correct consistency. But I realized that I needed more heat, and that's actually what they do in the restaurants there. And it's tricky because you don't want too much heat because then it's going to curdle the eggs. You just want just enough heat to just gently cook the eggs so they form a custard, really, over the pasta. And my warm bowl technique was not giving me that. So what I did now, when I came home, and I've tried this 4 times now, and it really works really, really, really well. And I'm gonna take you through it. My new technique. You'll see that I posted a recipe to go a carbonara recipe to go with this podcast. But I thought maybe talking you through it would be interesting too. So here we go. Here's my new and improved technique. For carbonara. And just wanted to say, I really think you should try to locate guanciale instead of pancetta. It's got a richer, gamier flavor, and that's really, to me, the Roman flavor. So, you know, make an effort. If you can't find it, pancetta works really fine. But I always try to go out of my way. I figure if I'm going to make it, I'm going to make it right. Now, bucatini's my pasta of choice. I find it's a little bit more luxurious than spaghetti because it has that hole that goes through and the sauce works itself up into the pasta, so you get sort of like a wraparound flavor. So I start out, I used to use, for a pound of pasta, I used to use 3 whole eggs and 1 egg yolk. Now, what I'm doing now is using 2 whole eggs and 2 egg yolks because I realized that the pasta carbonara in Rome was much richer and much more yellow, and they obviously had used more yolks. So this is what I did. So I start with that. So two whole eggs and two yolks for 1 pound of pasta. And as I said before, what I do here is I mix Pecorino Romano or Pecorino Sardo with Grana Padano or Parmigiano, because just so I don't have to deal with any kind of harsh, bad American, you know, imported, you know, cheese from Italy that's just they send us our garbage sometimes. And, you know, you do get that. So I use half and half. So here we go. So what I first start doing is I set up my pasta water, right? Big thing. Give it a lot of salt. I mean, maybe not quite as much salt as I would normally, which is a lot, only because the guanciale can be a little salty. But, you know, a tablespoon for a giant big bucket, that's good. I mean, that sounds like a lot, but it's actually good. So what I'll do is I'll take a little bowl and I'll whisk the eggs with about 2 tablespoons of the grated cheese mixture, right? So I've got that ready. And then I want to choose a really large pan. I mean, so you want something that, now this is my new thing, you want something that's going to hold all the pasta because you want to use it to toss the pasta in. So what I used this time is I actually used a really big La Creuset casserole, which was perfect. So I drizzle in a little bit of olive oil, and when that's hot, I'll add the chopped guanciale, which I actually don't chop into chunks. I chop into little threads, like not threads really, but little thin strips, which is the way I always saw it done this time in Rome. So I figured, you know, go with that. So I get that going, and while that's starting to crisp up, I'll drop in my bucatini. Okay, so that's going, and that's going to take, what, like about 12 minutes. And I'll saute the guanciale until it's really, really crisp. And now what I do is I add now to the guanciale is a splash of either dry vermouth or white wine. I mean, this is not traditional. I've actually never seen this in any recipe, in any book. But I really like doing it because what it does is that it deglazes the bottom of your guanciale pan, so all the little bits of pork flavor can be scraped up and incorporated into the sauce. And it actually, for me, it makes it richer and it makes a lot of sense. So, okay, so after I've added my wine and the guanciale is all done, I turn off the heat, but I'll leave the pan on the turned off burner. Now, this is really key because this is where you get your heat that's going to ultimately, you know, give you a beautiful cooked egg sauce. So now my bucatini is just about done. Al dente, very al dente in Rome, as you know. So pull it out, saving a little bit of the cooking water in case you need it. You might not. So I'll add the bucatini to the guanciale, and then I'll pour in the eggs right away, the egg and cheese mixture, and a lot of really fresh black pepper, a tiny, tiny bit of salt. And I'll just start tossing like crazy. Just toss, 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 toss. And the heat from the guanciale pan is going to be giving you enough heat to cook the eggs, and plus the heat from the pasta. So, but you have to keep tossing, 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 so you don't get anything that's going to start curdling. And this will take a couple of minutes. I mean, I would say toss for two minutes. And you know it's perfect when every strand is coated with like a golden sauce and there's very, very little excess liquid left on the bottom of the pan, but it still feels moist. So the thing is, if you feel like it might be a little bit dry, you can add like a tablespoon of the cooking water and toss, toss, toss again, until everything is just moist and coated and beautiful and shiny. It should look really shiny. So now, basically, you're ready. So you just want to serve it up right now. And that's it. And I always bring extra cheese to the table, you know, whoever wants some. I like a little on top. So that's it. And I really want you to try this. Try my recipe. You know, the recipe gives you, you know, the amounts. This is just a talk through. So try it and see how you like it. And let me know how your spaghetti carbonara turns out, okay? All right. Okay, so I'm signing off from now, from my Italian kitchen to yours.
See you next time. Happy carbonara cooking to you. Bye.